Tim Blaine Shapiro, Divorce 661, Daily Perspective, Episode 59. Hope you're doing well today. All right, I do these this live podcast, live in some cases, not live today. This will be pre-recorded, but where I go over client issues, reasons people hire me, people trying to do their own divorce issues, questions people have on consultation, so we can let you know a little bit more about what I do and maybe help you guys out. I do provide a full service divorce paralegal process for you anywhere in California. As long as you guys are amicable, I can take your case. If you've already started a divorce case and are stuck, I can take over as well. That represents about 50% of my business. So what I always do is start off with the stats for the week. We're almost at the end of the month of March, and we have a couple days left, but I want to get these stats out to you. So far, for the month of March, we've had 39 new divorce cases this month alone, 126 new divorce cases for the year so far. Thank you to everyone for your continued support of my business. Now, I've been doing this for 12 years. We get tons of referrals, but I appreciate your continued trust and in using my service for your amicable divorce. The cases that we filed were kind of all over California. Again, we do handle the process anywhere in California. The process is basically the same. There's some nuances with different courts, but we're very familiar with those. So some of the counties we handled this month were three in San Diego, in all, you know, Central County, North County, doesn't matter. They allow for e-file, which is nice. So yeah, San Diego County, Orange County, Ventura, Marin County, Sacramento, Alameda, Santa Clara, Contra Costa, Riverside, San Bernardino, Solano, San Francisco, and more. That was just to go over a few of the cases we've handled. You know, what for the counties that don't allow for e-file, this is what it looks like. This came in today. This is one day. This is all the judgments that I previously prepared that the clients have signed and then had to mail in so I can process. We are a full service, not an online divorce service. So when I handle your case, it is from start to finish. And once I prep your final paperwork, you guys sign it, notarize it, the client's mail to my office so I can finalize with the court. I do not leave it to chance for you guys to do that, because every client that's asked to do that, thinking they're going to speed up the process, ends in a judgment rejection. And that's why I like to handle it from complete start to finish. It lets me get eyes on it one more time. I have to do all the prep, photocopies, et cetera, and then mail those out to court. And then if there's any issues or the court has questions, they can contact me directly so we can get those addressed. We've had 10 cases submitted for review across various counties. Several have been approved. Five have already been approved. That's usually with our e-file cases. We're usually seeing them get approved within the same week. For LA County, we had several that were approved the same day and two that were approved in just a couple of hours for the judgment cases. I really hope all the other counties eventually get online with this. Speaking about e-file, I've been complaining about that a bit. I have several, probably five or six cases I've e-filed this week, some as far back as last week that we still haven't got back filed copies. So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if it's internal with the electronic filing service or the counties specifically, but you would think because you're e-filing, there's a preference on those e-files because there's probably someone handling those e-file cases, a clerk specifically. And we've had some since Thursday of last week in like Santa Clara, Alameda, and really curious as to what's going on as far as why these are taking so long. It just delays us being able to move your case forward. So we're going to go over some consultations and questions that came up during the last couple of days. One of the ones was legal separation versus divorce. If you're going to consider legal separation, if you don't want it to be divorced for some reason, or you want to do it as a trial type separation, if you complete a legal separation process and you get a judgment on the legal separation, and then you later want to file for divorce, it's not just converting that legal separation case into a divorce. It's a brand new case, brand new case number, brand new fees, brand new everything. We have to basically start from scratch, kind of. And let me explain why. When you go through the legal separation process, it's almost identical to the divorce process. Filing, serving, you have to have a terms agreed upon, child custody, child support, spouse support, division of your assets and debts, everything gets addressed in the legal separation case. And then let's say that gets finalized. If you then want to file for divorce, and let's say you guys want to change some terms for some reason, which usually that's not happening, you have to change the terms on the legal separation case, not on the divorce case. The divorce case will be what's called a status-only dissolution, and that's only handling the status of the marriage to do the divorce. It's not going to address any of the prior division of assets and debts or any of the other terms. So you guys don't have to go over that part again. Settlement agreements drafted. So we kind of went over, I'll go over some of the settlement agreements we drafted and just so you can kind of get an idea of what people are doing. And again, sky's the limit. Whatever you guys want to come up with, the court's not going to interfere. I had a San Benito County settlement agreement we drafted, had assets and debts, minor children, long-term marriage. They didn't want any spouse support and no child support. I talk about that quite a bit, that if you guys don't want child support, that's fine. There's a way of getting that approved through the court. There's just specific language. I know it doesn't mean that you're going to not pay, take care of your children. It just means you guys don't want an official court order for child support. And I'll say 99% of the courts are okay with that. We're using reserved jurisdiction. And most of the courts will accept that. I think there's some confusion with the clerks in some of the counties because we just had a San Bernardino case, I think it was San Bernardino Riverside, that we submitted with the reserved jurisdiction. And one of the questions the clerk had is they're asking, why didn't we attach the non-guideline order, non-guideline child support order? And I told them, we're not asking for a non-guideline order. Non-guideline means you know, child support is, say, calculated out at $1,000, but you guys want $500 or $10 or something other than the guideline amount. That's what a non-guideline order is. But we're not asking for a non-guideline. We're asking for reserved jurisdiction. In those cases, we don't need an income and expense declaration, and we don't need to show the calculation. We just say reserved. And again, it's not a non-guideline issue. So we have to deal with, sometimes we'll get a little kickback from the courts we have to deal with. All right, specific child support when more than one child. We had someone had three minor children and they said, we want the child support to be $1,000. And I said, that's fine. So when you want a specific amount, and it's okay that you guys agree to an amount regardless of what the calculation says. So let's say in this case, the child support calculation actually came out to $1,500, but they want $1,000. That's where we would use this non-guideline order. And we'd say the guideline amount calculated is $1,500, but we agree to $1,000. So you can't just say in your settlement agreement, there's $1,000 in child support. It has to be broken down by child. So when we run this calculation, it's going to say how much is it per child? Because when the children age out, turn 18, graduate from high school, that child support would technically stop. So because they wanted $1,000, this is kind of an interesting child support order we had to put together, because they wanted $1,000 until the youngest child turned 18, as opposed to the various amounts dropping off as they turned 18, what we did is we said, okay, you want $1,000 in child support. We did $333, $333, and $334, so a total of $1,000. But in the order, just the basic language says that child support's to be paid until the child turns 18 and graduates from high school. So if we left it just like that and didn't include any additional language, technically the paying spouse could stop paying that child's support once they turned 18. So what we did is include some additional language in there that said, as the minor children age out and turn 18 and graduate from high school, that amount will be added to the total child support so that the amount of child support continues to be $1,000 per month until the youngest child ages out. So that's how we took care of that little issue there. But it needs to be distributed amongst the children, and we'll just usually just even that amount out per child. Let's see if there's anything I wanted to talk about. Anything else with that? So it has to be distributed. That I think I covered everything in there. All right, we had another settlement agreement drafted for LA County, a short-term marriage, that kids, legal custody, joint legal custody and physical custody, no spouse support, no child support. Why do I keep going over this with you? Short-term marriage or long-term marriage, people have children, they have joint legal, joint physical, they want no child support, no spouse support. It's very, very common that it's a pretty straightforward custody case. I shouldn't say custody case, pretty straightforward settlement agreement that even though there might be, spouse support, if you guys went to court, they're saying they don't want it. Even though there would be child support, because every court order, every settlement agreement needs to address child support. And if you went to court, there's probably always going to be some order for child support because it's never going to match up unless you guys agree to no child support. And when I say no, I'm talking about the reserved jurisdiction or non-guideline order, depending on which way the court wants that written up. That's just a very common. So I'm always going to keep bringing that up. We have people asking all the time, how are you getting your clients not to have child support? It's not being waived. That's where people are going wrong with their words. It's being reserved or asking for a non-guideline order. And by agreement, you can do that in your settlement agreement. All right. Another settlement agreement issue that came up, Alameda, this was Alameda County. It was a long-term marriage, two kids, no spouse support or child support. Okay. You're going to keep hearing that. They used an online marital settlement agreement. Don't use these, please. They're terrible. They will never be approved by the court. They had also listed a bunch of personal property. So when they Googled and put, you know, online divorce marital settlement agreement, there's a bunch out there. Don't use them. They're all terrible. They have all kinds of wrong information in there. But what they did was they listed a whole bunch of smaller property that we wouldn't normally list. They had computers, gaming consoles, furniture, appliances, golf clubs. I mean, they had like 50 different things listed. And normally we're not including that because it's not, I don't want to say that it's wrong to do that. It's just not necessary. Unless, you know, if that's important to you and that's the only asset you have. We have had cases where they were married a year or two and they were renting and, you know, they're both working, but a computer, their iPad and their iPhone was their only assets and they wanted to list them. And so we can, but if you've been married 30 years, you're going to have a lot of personal property and we can simply state that you guys are going to, meet and confer and discuss who's going to keep what, personal property inside the home or, whatnot and see, we don't have to basically list those out unless you want to. So in this case, I said, hey, do you really want to list all these things? And they said, no. I said, we can simply state you guys are going to keep what's in your name or possession. And that kind of covers that as a boilerplate. When you are listing assets and debts, they did have like bank accounts and pensions and 401ks and credit cards and all that, but they did not list the account number. And just remember when you're doing your settlement agreement, if you're doing your own divorce, which I don't recommend, that you do need to include the last four digits of the account number and the name of it. So you can't say, what do I see? 401k in petitioner's name. That's not going to work. You need to say Fidelity 401k account number 1234. So we'll leave it at that. Okay. Now I want to talk about an entire divorce case that we completed the same day. I e-filed it yesterday at 8 a.m. in the morning, had it back e-filed, and this is the petition I'm talking about, at 8:30. So we got that back right away. They had already provided the agreement to me as well, and I was able to finalize all remaining paperwork and have them e-sign the procedural forms and e-notarize their settlement agreement, and they are completely done. One spouse is going to be moving out in 2 days. So they asked me on the consultation, Tim, can you get everything done before we, physically separate? And I said, absolutely. Only because you're in LA County could we do this, meaning complete all the paperwork and they signed it and it's filed and the case number is issued, settlement agreement's been notarized and they're done. We can still do the same thing for other counties. It's just, we're not going to have a case number issued yet. We're not going to have, be able to e-file in many cases or like these five cases we have outstanding for five court days, we wouldn't have the case number to be able to move forward, but we could still get the paperwork done. So we can, in certain counties, get everything done very quickly if you guys just want it to be done. Keep in mind, even though we filed, say, on day one and did all the final paperwork on day two, we still have to wait 31 days to turn in the settlement agreement and final judgment package because you have to wait the 31 days. The only way to circumvent that is to file the response, and then you don't have to wait the 31 days because the whole 31-day deal is because you're doing a default with agreement. In an uncontested divorce case, if a response is filed, now the response has been filed, you don't have to wait, so we can turn those in even quicker. And that is one of the ways we are doing another case. I want to say it's Alameda, where they wanted to do this where it would be filed faster or finalized faster, where we can submit it for review quicker. So we're filing the petition as soon as we get a case number issued, filing the response. Don't have to serve if that's the case. The clock starts at the date the response is filed versus the date of service, which can be right after we get this case issued. We can go ahead and file the response, and then we can turn in the settlement agreement for review immediately behind that. We also filed a joinder for a new quadro on a 2021 divorce case. Regarding the quadros, you're generally are going to want to wait until the divorce is finalized to start the quadro process. This particular divorce case, they had attorneys for the divorce, and is why it took so long for them to finalize. That's why you know, this is 2021, we're now 2024. But once the divorce is finalized, the quadro process follows the terms of the settlement agreement. So in this case, they had just finalized their divorce, and so that part's over. They asked me to handle their quadro for them, and so I said, okay, that's great. I need you guys to remove your attorneys of record. There's no more legal advice per se needed in this, because the quadro is going to be drafted per the terms of the settlement agreement, where that's already been included in that language. And so the quadro is just going to follow that language in the settlement agreement. So there's no real need. There's nothing changing. Like, I think the question was, Tim, how will this be divided? And I said, well, it's going to be divided based on the terms you guys agreed on in your divorce case. So here's another 2021 divorce case we took on, where the summons was never issued, but it was filed, and now I have to amend and start all over again. So this is, if I can tell you, this is some of the pitfalls of doing your own divorce. This is probably one of the worst case scenarios. I talked to you a lot about how people are like not, I think we had another case 2 weeks ago I talked about where they didn't file the proof of service. They never served the documents from 3 years ago, so they never started the clock. In this case, they thought they filed, it was interesting circumstances. I don't see this ever repeating itself, but check this out. So they filed for divorce in 2021. I think this was in Pomona. And they filed using a fee waiver. So when the fee waiver got denied, trying to recall the events here, the fee waiver had been denied. So the court did not issue the summons when they filed the petition. So when you file for divorce, you get the minimum, the summons and petition. And if you pay your fee in the normal process, they're going to stamp the summons, they're going to issue it, and you're going to get a case number issued. So they filed the petition, issued a case number, but did not issue the summons because the fees weren't paid, because the request to waive fees was denied. Then they went in and paid the court fee, but the court never issued the summons. So they had served the petition and the summons shortly after the case was filed in 2021, but the issue was the summons hadn't been issued. So here we are, they hired me to take over their case and finalize. And so I could see that the petition was filed, the summons was filed. I did the judgment preparation, they signed it, notarized, I turned it in, and it got rejected. And the reason being is it said the summons was never issued. So then I had to go back into the court. I've never seen this happen. Order copies. And sure enough, the summons had not been stamped by the court. So what we have to do is it's as if their case has never been filed. I have to file an amended summons and petition, refile it, get that filed, and then that has to be served again. And that's going to now start the clock 3.5 years later. It's like they never even started their divorce. So I have that to finish up today. Let them know that the proof of service isn't valid because the initial filing wasn't valid. So it's as if nothing has happened this entire time. For 99% of the people that hire me, if the initial petition and summons, there's no issues there, and the proof of service is fine, and all this time has gone by, 4, 5, 6 years, then we can turn in the final paperwork and usually have them approve the same day, next day, or whenever the court approves it. If you're in different counties, it's still going to take the 2 or 3 months, but at least you don't have to wait the 6 months. In this case, they're going to have to wait the 6 months, and I haven't told them that yet, but I'm going to have a conversation with them about what needs to happen on this case. So definitely a major pitfall of doing your own divorce. Okay, another 2020. Wow, these are three 2021 divorce cases. This one is clients that came to me, and we had it approved in 2 hours. When I have the judgment prep folks come to me and they've already have a filed case, I do an initial review. I go through everything, make sure that nothing needs to be amended. And if they get me their terms, I can finalize their paperwork and have them e-sign, electronically notarized if appropriate for the county. And then I can e-file with the court. And many times we'll get it back in a few hours. LA County's kind of been, and e-files have been talking about in this podcast, has been all over the map, but sometimes it's a couple hours, sometimes it's a couple days, sometimes it's a couple weeks. So usually what happens is if I say, hey, you know, if I've had a few approved in a couple hours, I'll tell people, yeah, we've got the last few done in a couple hours, and then those will be the ones that'll take a couple of weeks. So I tell people now it could be anywhere from a couple days to a couple weeks, and then I hope to surprise them with a quick approval timeline. But yeah, we can get cases you've been working on for years and get those wrapped up. You guys sign, notarize, and you can be completely done. I want to talk about process serving. I had clients that had hired me, and I just finalized their case today, actually. And a couple things with the process server. They filed their initial documents, hired a process server, and had them served. And they were amicable, so there was no reason really to do that. There's better ways of doing that. And the first thing I want to talk about is with my service, I am your process server. I'm not a licensed or a contracted I'm just the neutral third party, and that's all you need to do for serving your spouse. It doesn't need to be done personally. You know, we're working with amicable clients here, so it's just a matter of your spouse signing a form called a notice and acknowledgement, which I send out, and in most cases will just be electronically signed. So here's folks trying to save money, right? So I'm assuming that's the case why most people do their own divorce. So they filed for divorce and they hired a process server. They charged them $240. I was looking at the proof of service form because if you hire someone, they have to put how much they charged you to serve it. $240. I'd never seen someone pay $240. $125, $150, $175. $240 was a crazy number I'd never seen. And here's the best part. The proof of service was prepared incorrectly, which caused their judgment to get rejected, which caused them to hire me because they couldn't figure out what was going on. So I got that all squared away. They had the serving address not correct and just some other errors on the proof of service. Then they paid for that. And the other thing I want to talk about is then they did their disclosures and they hired another process server to serve the disclosures. You don't have to do that. The only thing in a divorce that needs to be personally served is the initial summons. Well, I should go back. Doesn't have to be personally served, but you can. If you guys are amicable, it doesn't have to be. But if anything's going to be personally served, it would be the initial documents. The response doesn't have to be personally served. I just saw that in another case that hired me. The petitioner filed, served the other spouse. The spouse responded and served their spouse personally. Had a prior to process server for that. All that's unnecessary. It's just a lot. You guys are going through the system. You're following the directions of the court. You probably have an instruction sheet that's telling you what to do. So I get it. I get why you're doing it, but it can be so much simpler if you just hire me from the beginning because I don't charge you an extra fee for handling the process service. Well, that's all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed episode, what are we at, 59 of the Daily Perspective. Appreciate you guys. If you guys have any questions, feel free to schedule a consultation. You can go to divorce661.com. And we can talk through your issues, and hopefully you guys are amicable and they can take care of your divorce. Have a great day.